You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Well, you can feel it around town, the excitement and pride that the Sacramento Kings have finally made it to the NBA playoffs. Kings logos and flags are starting to pop up in windows of homes and apartments around Sacramento. People are out sporting their Kings gear and jerseys. Businesses, office buildings are just bathed in purple. And of course, we have the beam. After 16 long tough, drama-filled years, the Kings clinched a postseason berth and will face their Northern California neighbors, the Golden State Warriors, who happen to be the defending NBA champs, starting this Saturday at Golden One Center. And the city of Sacramento is getting ready to be on the national stage once again, with fans from all over coming into the downtown corridor for at least two and hopefully more home games at Golden One Center. Joining us now to talk about the impact this will have on our city is Mike Testa with Visit Sacramento. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Vicky.
So we just came off the heels of hosting the first round of men's college basketball, the tournament, a few weeks ago at Golden One Center. Now the Kings are in the playoffs for the first time in a very, very, very long time. I mean, this is what we, but especially for all of you at Visit Sacramento, have dreamed of, right?
Yeah, this is the kind of attention that we want on our city because we're a very unique place, right? And we want to show that off to the rest of the country. And sometimes when you're not getting the spotlight that we're getting now, it's tough to communicate that. So, you know, the attention and the spotlight on Sacramento is really incredible publicity. We saw the last time the Kings were in the playoffs, the visits to our website went up dramatically when those games were on. So we'll take the attention because we think we have a pretty cool city here.
So if you're a non-basketball fan, why is this moment a big deal?
So you think about when the Kings were in the playoffs last time. They had close to 20 nationally televised games. And again, that spotlight on our city is not just about basketball. For me, our job is to bring in conventions, right? And so when I have to educate people on the East Coast where Sacramento is or what we are, that makes the sale harder. So when the Kings are creating that image for us, it's an easier sell. Same with the great people at the Greater Sacramento Economic Council. When they're trying to get businesses to relocate here, it's a lot easier to sell the city when people already have an idea of what it is.
Yeah, and you have all that buzz too. Yeah, it's easy to kind of zoom past these accomplishments in the last year or so, but to slow down, last year's success from Sac Republic FC, the soccer team, you have Sac State football and women's basketball, plus we just hosted the NCAA March Madness at Golden One Center, and now we have the NBA playoffs. How does this success at a college level and a pro level boost the overall image for the city?
Well, you know, when the Kings are playing well, it's fun, it's exciting. You're watching them on the screen, it says Sacramento across their jersey. So again, I think for those of us who live here and work in the city, it's an extension of who we are. It shows the joy and the happiness and I think the passion that we have for the team and for the city. So again, you know, when you look at the events you named, plus Aftershock, the largest hard rock festival in the country, Golden Sky, a new country festival, we're doing things that are attracting people from across the country. And we couldn't really have said that 10 years ago. So it's a very different city than what we were. And I'm excited because hopefully this is the start of a long run for the Kings. This is not just this year. You have to assume that with the team they have now, they'll attract even more talent, and we'll be having this conversation for years to come.
Do you get an extra boost given that they're going to be taking on the Warriors and you have the Bay Area and these two neighboring teams, and you can capitalize on this exposure?
We certainly saw in the second half of the season when it looked like the Kings were going to make the playoffs that there were a lot of people coming into town to see those games. Now, you talk about the Warriors just down the road, there's going to be a lot of Warriors fans that come to this playoff game. So the economics of that are really important because not only is it the restaurants, the bars, everything around the Golden One Center, but it's also the hotels. People will come and stay the night. And we've heard that from hoteliers that especially the second half of the season, they were seeing 10, 15, 20 rooms a night per hotel from fans coming in. So you add that in with the 10 hotels downtown and surrounding areas, that's a lot of money coming into our economy.
You bring up a good point because for some of these people who are going to be staying overnight and visiting K Street and DoCo and, you know, just the city in general for maybe the first time or since they were a kid or whatever, you know, what does this mean from a visitor or tourism standpoint?
Well, we saw that with March Madness. I talked to a guy who came in from Denver to watch the tournament. He'd never been to Sacramento before. And his response was, I had no idea this city was so cool. So to your point, you get somebody in for one reason and they want to come back. He said, I'll be bringing my family back to Sacramento because I had no idea what a great space it was. oftentimes it takes a catalyst like a Kings playoff game to introduce folks to our city. And then, you know, they'll continue to come back and spend money into our economy.
Yeah. Overnight, I got a message from Tipsy Putt and the Trophy Club Bar, and they're attached to the Golden One Center at DoCo. And they just wanted to let me know that their sales have been up like 40%, you know, year over year so far at the DoCo location, and that the Kings and this NBA like run are regenerating a downtown core that has just been crushed the past few years. What has been the overall reaction from the business community here, and how are some of them hopefully capitalizing on the team's success?
Well, it's been a revival, right? I think it's been a lifeline in a lot of ways. You look last weekend when the Kings were playing, DoCo was packed. Not everybody was inside the arena. There were a lot of people that just came down to be part of the excitement. So the good thing is this has been going on for a couple of months now, and so the businesses are prepared. A lot of them are making sure that they're open early, that they're staying open late, because part of the value of the Golden One Center is people are coming in before the games and they're staying after the game. We didn't see that at Arco Arena. It's much more of a destination than it ever was before.
Could this potentially lead to new advertising campaigns for the city?
Well, I think the benefit of it is we're getting an advertising campaign, and one that we don't have to pay for. You know, the Beam has been spotlighted nationally on ESPN and different sports networks. So, you know, we capitalize on that by coming in behind it with different advertising campaigns that bolster the image and the content of who we are as a city.
Mm-hmm. And I understand Visit Sacramento is its own entity, but how do you collaborate with the city or even the Sac Kings in showcasing Sacramento?
Well, we all make sure that we're talking. We talk about what we're promoting. We talk about what's important and what we're ultimately trying to do. And, you know, my job, obviously, is to get people to come into our city who don't live here, spend money with our local businesses, and then go back to wherever they came from. And I think with the city, you know, you talk about parking, you talk about access. And then the Kings, obviously, they have the product and they're the ones that are making this all happen. But when we have large groups coming in, they make sure that we have the access. They make sure that we have the talking points to talk to national media so we're all on the same page.
Your organization as well posted a guide, which is very helpful, of how to enjoy the playoffs in Sacramento. So walk us through some of the attractions you have highlighted.
Well, like you said, there's, you know, and we saw this with March Madness, there was a dark day in between the tournament. So we want to make sure people had things to do. We program the restaurants that are in walking distance of the hotels. We talk about museums in old Sacramento, if that's important. We talk about Tipsy Putt and fun businesses that maybe people aren't familiar with. You try to make locals feel like they're at home, because we've all been to different cities and you don't know your way around. So as much as we can familiarize people before they get here, that's something that we do. And then we also work hand in hand with the hotels to make sure that the questions that are asked by visitors are able to be answered and then passed on to us so we anticipate the next time.
I remember talking to you in DoCo and Golden One Center, you know, just open, and that was like back in 2016. Since then, we have more hotels now. How much of a game changer is it that you have people that can really stay in the city center and enjoy it with walking distance?
Yeah, you look at the Hyatt Centric, which is right next to the Golden One Center. You look at the Kimpton, which is right next to the Golden One Center. We do have those new hotels, and I think that has been a big help in getting people in, because those are high-end brands that people recognize. But I will tell you, we actually, since 2019, we have two new hotel rooms in downtown Sacramento. Not hotels, but rooms.
Really?
So we've gained hotels, but we've also lost some hotels that, you know, were victims of the pandemic that have changed into different housing projects. So it's still a problem in Sacramento from a hotel standpoint. When I look at going after larger conventions, the biggest challenge in that equation is a lack of hotel rooms.
Mm. So there's still challenges. But before we let you go, what are some other big events that you want to highlight? You talked about Aftershock, but what can we start enjoying and thinking about and planning for as we head towards the summer months?
Yeah, we've got the NCAA track and field regionals coming this summer to Sac State. That's going to be a lot of fun. We've got all the Farm to Fork festival events and the Tower Bridge dinner and Legends of Wine. We've got a great music lineup for Farm to Fork that we expect to release in the next couple weeks. And then you mentioned Aftershock, Golden Sky, and Iron Man coming up later this year.
And Soul Bloom.
Yes, I'm sorry. Soul Bloom has moved to August, which is great. So you look at August, September, October, there are four major music festivals in Sacramento, and that's not something we've had in the past. So again, we are a different market and no longer that government town that maybe defined us 10, 15 years ago.
Mike, as always, nice seeing you.
You too, Vicky.
Mike Testa is with Visit Sacramento. Still ahead, we're going to continue the excitement of the Kings playoff push with Kings TV analyst Katie Christensen and Kings public address announcer Scott Moak. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.